Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Matty B, joined once again by Bronell and Harv. In this episode, we're going to recap the Honda Classic, the PGA National. We're going to get into the news as we always do. We have a great interview for you today with Jimmy Hard K Knaus off the PGA Tour. Bronell, in honor of Mr. Hard K, has put together a top five list of names on the PGA Tour right here.
Best names.
And then we're going to get into our picks as usual. Before we get into it, just wanted to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Check them out. Brand new launch. Tons of new gear on there starting March 1st here. They just launched a bunch of new gear. Use a promo code DRIVETHEGREEN for 15% off your new spring orders.
Those new hats are sweet.
The new hats are unbelievable.
Yeah.
New hats. A lot of they're moving. They have quite a bit of casual wear too.
Oh.
Yeah, so lots of good stuff like that. Obviously, polos, tons of golf shit.
Nice.
Great stuff. Anyway, how was the week, fellas?
Not bad.
Yeah?
I'm so sick of this wind. I can't handle it anymore.
It's a fierce wind.
They're the winds of shit.
I mean, it's okay. We choose to live here for the minus 25 to 30 temperatures. It's when the wind chill gets to minus 40 and it's 50 kilometers,
yep.
60 kilometers.
No time for that.
Give me minus 20 with no wind over plus 10 with a shitload of wind any day of the week.
You're not a wind guy.
No.
You're not Mark Leishman.
No.
Not a wind guy.
I like to pick them all the time, though.
Yep. Well, I had a great week. I got to do my favorite pastime on Saturday, which was cleaning up children's puke off my clothes.
Oh, nice.
And out of their beds. So the flu kind of ran through the house this week.
How about you?
I'm good. Well, shouldn't say that. Coming out the other end.
But, whoa.
That's a good segue because puke is way worse than poop.
The worst.
It's the worst. I would rather
nothing worse than puke.
Not in a sexual way, but I would rather get pooped on than puked on.
100%.
Kids, I mean, adults, anything?
Yeah, well, adults. I'll take adults too.
It's been a long time since I've been puked or shit on by an adult.
Yeah, no one's shit on your chest lately. Yeah. So
what a start! What an electric start here.
Yeah, fun story about that. How it happened before we get in the pod. Yeah, I was brushing my son's teeth when he decided to throw up, so that was fun.
Hmm.
Yeah, just all over me.
Just
my hand.
Toothbrush went back a little bit too far, or what?
yeah, maybe it was dad's fault. Yeah, so that was fun. Harv, how about you?
Well, day three, I'm off the piss here.
And, yeah, I noticed you look a little bit better.
what does that mean? And off the trash food, so we're going on a bit of a cleanse here for March.
Wow.
So.
Pop, so, too?
No pop.
So,
oh, pop.
Boy. So, a coat. Classic no Coke, no Pepsi guy. He's a water guy now.
Yep.
Water guy.
For 3 weeks.
And then getting right back on that wagon hard for that
fantasy
baseball draft.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Boys are going to have some fun. Speaking of fun, Keith Don't Call Me Kim Mitchell picked up his first career PGA victory. What an unbelievable win.
That no-namer?
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, don't start on
that. I can't believe that news article. Let's just get right in. It's in the news, but let's just get into it right now. How disrespectful is it to put no name champion on the cover of a newspaper? I mean, these guys grind their asses off for years and years and years, and I personally love that these guys are winning. Anyone can win at any time. We talk about it all the time. We talked about how we enjoy the parody of the game right now.
Yeah.
And these people are kind of making fun of it, but at the same time, this is what makes the game great.
New
and
winners
makes covering
is
the game
amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then you think about how putting together a week like this changes that guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
Like this year plus 2 more years exemption, just like set for life, you know, now he can play with confidence. Like a lot of these guys, you know, maybe they're in this position, grip the club a little too tight, and what we talked to Wheatcroft last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to win the Canadian Open, you know, things kind of don't go his way, finished his T5, and now he's up and down, and man, just the greatest feeling in the world.
But not only the headline or whatever, but the actual article went on to say, and I'll quote it here, PGA Tour and Honda Classic officials had the making of several great finishes Sunday. a playoff between local residents Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, Vijay Singh becoming the oldest winner in tour history, even Ryan Palmer posting a 63 to come out of nowhere with the best round of the day. Then along came Keith Mitchell.
Like, wow. That's just
who
the
is
worst.
This writer? Did Keith like bang his sister or something? Like
that is clickbait at the absolute max. Yeah. Put a headline like that, get all kinds of attention, but I mean, and then, any attention, whether good or bad, is good attention in the media world, which is shitty, but at the same time, yeah, you feel like this guy's so well liked.
Oh.
Like, Twitter, unlike any other victory this year, was just flooded with congrats,
and
Matt,
all the
congrats.
Big names are,
all
like,
the big guys, yeah.
Huge fans of him. Like, he had 704 texts and 92 snaps after the round.
And did you there see the all the guys, the boys like, not only too. Brooks and not only Ricky stuck around, but then, like, all the other guys in the locker room after? And they were just crushing beers in there?
Friend of the pod, Joel Damon, was there. He was gone, changed his travel plans, came back. Guys love him.
Yeah.
And it's maybe it's because he's a little bit more active on social media, but you don't see any other guys sharing videos of them partying in the locker room after. Like, that doesn't happen. It just goes to show how cool he is and why he's probably so well liked.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, and he had to work for it too.
Yeah, let's talk about the round a little bit. I mean, he birdied 12, 13, 15, 18 down the stretch. Just
what
kind of snuck in there.
Yeah.
Minus three in the bear trap for the week.
Yeah, that's impressive. Cashed a huge check.
Yeah, quick $1.22 million.
Speaking of cash and checks, Crunchy Pete's cashing 10%.
I was
going
to say, are we going to get to Crunchy Pete or what's what a going guy. On here?
Oh, Crunchy Pete was the best. We had followed him. We followed him for a little bit on social media, and he's not that active, but all of a sudden now I have a feeling he's going to blow up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just the scruffy bear grills, he says.
Yeah. Do you think when Keith was putting that side hiller on 18, it's like, I think it's breaking a little bit left to right? No, that's because you're only wearing one shoe.
Yeah, I had to rewind to check if he had two shoes on.
Yeah, old Crunchy. But, 10%. He tweeted something like, what's 10% of this?
Of one point of the check. Yeah, he sent a picture of the check.
No good at math, but what's 10% of this?
Yeah.
And that's someone posted $5,000. No. Classic cooch backhand. Yeah. Oh,
I didn't see that.
It was good. How about Keith's last five starts? Cut, 73rd, cut, win.
This is why it's awesome.
It's like that Adam Long story earlier in this year. I mean, it's just pretty much the same thing.
Just a matter
just
of time
came
before,
right out of nowhere.
Just a matter of time before one of the Drive the Green friends pulls down victory and we get him the next day.
And these kind of tougher tournaments, you always think, well, the cream's going to rise to the crop, which it did for the most part. But those are also the tournaments that a guy like this can win because the score, you only need to be -9 to win the tournament.
Yep.
Like, you know.
Well, for the longest time there, it seemed like Ryan Palmer posted that early number. And then the wind started picking up and everything. It's like, man, 7-under might win this tournament. And it was for the longest time. It was right in there. Guys were dropping. Guys were going up. And then all of a sudden just...
And then there's a whole heap of them at 7.
There was a six-way tie at one point in the back nine. And we were texting back and forth like, come on, six-man playoff.
Just well, the horse race.
And that's what it was. Yeah. It was like you thought, okay, we're going to have this huge playoff. Even Brooks... Ricky and him would have been a good playoff.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he birdied it. So on one hand you're just like, well, this is awesome. He just won his first tournament. And then on the other, it's like, oh, I guess we're done watching for the day.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we don't get that playoff.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's pretty happy about it.
But it was interesting. Like the course, like, I mean, bear trap, it wasn't, people ate up the bear trap.
It was like a cub trap.
Exactly. But nice. I don't know if it was like the wind wasn't going the right direction to make it super tough, but it didn't seem like...
Well, a lot of
that
it
that course has to be almost impossible for like a mid-handicapper to play with all that water out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The wind was coming off, pushing everything back towards play. So that was kind of one of the reasons why I think it was a little bit more difficult, but it was also knocking down shots on 17.
But so. I was watching one of the things that before, like the pregame show was saying that everyone was concerned after that Adam Shank or whatever got called for that two-stroke penalty that was going to happen to their guy, and like two strokes in this dropped you from top 10 to like 30th.
How ridiculous is that rule? And especially that they're enforcing it like that. Like, I get potentially why they're doing it, but don't really at all. Like, the only reason why he got it is because he was in a bunker, so once you get your feet planted, you're pretty much staying there.
Yeah.
But if that would have happened on the fairway, he has to essentially step off and re-step back. But he didn't because he was already planted.
But here's another thing. Who cares?
Yeah.
What does it matter if...
You still have to hit the shot.
Exactly. I am fully on board with the one where, like, a player standing behind a guy putting or something is illegal.
Yeah.
Because you can get help. What the heck's it... What does it matter if a caddy's there?
Yeah, I don't...
Doesn't make any sense.
Fairway, that's the one new rule that's just... Everyone just seems to really hate right now. Because the other ones are... Oh, it's so stupid that I have to drop from the knee.
They give another one that they hate.
While dropping from the knee. Yes. But, I mean, they'll get used to it.
Or pooping it out.
they'll get used to it, though. But this one is, like, something that... It's like, I don't know if you're going to get used to it.
We'll have to research it for next week. But just before we came on here, I got a tweet from one of the friends of the pod. I just saw it on Twitter. But he was saying that VJ... on 17 when he went in the water, just off the water or whatever, said that was an illegal drop because that was a red staked area, so it crossed the hazard and then rolled back in. But because it was red and not yellow, you should have to go all the way back to the tee, and he got to drop it on this side of the...
No, that's right.
The hazard? Yellow, I thought it was
yellow
red.
Is you have to go point entry. Red is lateral. So he was right. Yeah. He could drop there.
Yeah, so we were discussing it on Twitter. He thought maybe VJ got away with it, but you would think with an official there it would be fine. And I said, well,
I think VJ knows the rules about hazards, but.
Well, and you would think.
Hitting tires.
That VJ was such a good story, too. And then the guy cannot putt.
No, man, he missed a few ones.
He missed every putt. I watched the entire round, and 16 of 18 putts were short.
well, he made like 8 birdies. Why is he using a long putter? He never did that before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is he chipping cross-handed?
How about his putter with the shaft going right in the middle of the putter?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's like he's putting with a disc.
No, nothing, but not worse than Charles Schwartzel's putter this week.
Oh, yeah.
Did
and
you
also,
guys see that thing?
Oh, that's the ugliest thing I've seen in my entire life. Like, I can make a putter that's not that ugly. Like, me, I'm terrible.
That's
like,
the shaft
out of
at
wood,
the back,
and
right?
I'm not a good wood.
The shaft's at the back.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I don't even know what you call it, but it's not sweet. But back to VJ real quick. Like, I hate that guy.
Oh, me too.
Hate him.
Why?
I don't know. I just always have hated him.
He just seems like a dink to me. I don't know.
I don't know if it was his glasses. I was just going to say,
never hit him out of glasses.
If it was the glasses he used to wear when he was winning tournaments, like, again, you're a millionaire. Get some contacts, get some LASIK eye surgery, whatever.
I'm a fan of his disheveled visors.
Hate him. But
you were
cheering for him hard this week. And I have no idea why. Like
You wanted him to become the oldest guy to ever win a tournament, I guess.
I don't know. After he chipped that one in cross-handed, like, I just baffled me. Like,
Solo 6 ain't bad. Yeah. He's playing again this week in the Arnold Palmer, eh?
Did top 10 get
and
in?
Fun fact, he's not playing in the senior event, which he won last year. He's playing in the Arnold Palmer.
Bigger purse.
All the old guys up there this week, eh? Furyk.
Jimbo.
T9. Sergio, T9. Ernie L.
Sergio, an old guy.
Ernie
now,
Els was T20 this week.
Big Easy.
Like,
he's a DK darling for me. Yeah. I love taking the Big Easy in DraftKings. Sneaky play for all those DraftKings players out there. Big Easy.
Sergio
right
is on the apology tour again.
Yeah, he's
taking pictures,
his game, hey?
Taking pictures with the family and all these other people and schmoozing and all that stuff.
I mean, we didn't really talk about Ricky and Brooks too much. They both were hot down the stretch.
Brooks posted that. I wouldn't say Brooks was hot. He was just the same all week.
Yeah,
that's how he wins every term he plays. He's just consistent.
Yep, consistent. Yeah. Yep. Well, and
he hit that.
Yeah, he waits guys out, and they were saying this is like his type of tournament too. It's score, but kind of wait guys out, and just like his U.S. Opens and
grind.
Just grind it out and hit unbelievable shots.
When
Ricky just be strong.
When Ricky made that putt on 17, I thought, oh boy, he's gonna win this thing now.
Yeah.
Because 18
just
is pretty much an auto birdie.
Another bridesmaid for old Rick.
Yeah.
He's like Chucky 3 sticks, but just like one step above what Chucky is.
Yeah.
gonna grind it out for years and years, but instead of Chucky making cuts and finishing 23rd, Ricky's making cuts and finishing like top 15.
I loves congratulating guys after their win.
Loves it.
How many? What were those what pictures? A nice there's guy. Like 50 of them, 30
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
Are we getting? That was insane. But are we gonna talk about the pervert work on the camera?
Oh boy, Ricky's whole like. Met up with Allison and the cameraman is literally just
on her bottom.
Yeah, like just
like back and forth.
I don't know what he was doing, but he had that thing.
He didn't even bother zooming out. He's just following her up the stairs. But
that reminds me of that guy.
Ricky's my unicorn.
In a previous job that got fired because he was filming girls eating hot dogs at the local rink.
One other point to make.
There's several, but go ahead.
Okay, well, one main point, just while I get back to my DraftKings thing here. I had Wyndham Clark in DraftKings this week. Was way up there about to cash a fat $23 check. And then he had to go and flop, and I think I doubled up on my 3-6.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
You had my not-so-big fan of Lucas Gerrigard.
Yeah, I also had Lucas too.
Yeah, T12 this week.
That guy is all
over. F that guy, seriously.
He's all over the map. I thought, no kidding. I read a stat that he was the only guy to make the cut with four double bogeys or something like that. And he made the cut. Like, because he scores like crazy, but then he puts up huge numbers all the time. Yeah, he can't avoid the
crooked numbers.
Yeah, all the time. But good, thanks for him. He contributed to my $6 win.
We were talking consistent in Brooks. What about the complete opposite in JT this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, he was, like, in the top five. Mm-hmm. Might have been early.
Yep.
Then on Saturday, at one point, he was dead last.
Yeah.
And then he finished, like, 30th, but he was legitimately, like, 68th.
Well, I think he was five over through five holes or something, and then finished one under on that round or something.
He birdied 14, 15, 17, 18 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just for funsies.
I mean, and then he got
that dead arm.
I don't know what that means for golf. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Tommy John.
That'd be a first. First golfer to get Tommy John.
See you in 2021.
And then a little argument with the USGA there.
Oh, did they? They went all in on
Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a battle.
They got some trolls running their accounts
feisty.
Now, hey?
They're feisty, yeah.
Like, these are the rules. You guys deal with them.
Our boy Colt Nose, Big Gravy, was going back and forth with them, too,
on Twitter. Know what Scooter thinks of them.
Yeah, Scooter. Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a real war out there. Just imagine what happens when they get to the U.S. Open this year and the USGA just, like, really sticks it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just go all in on
all
these.
All in.
Like, on
can't even, it's like...
There's not even a fairway. Yeah, like, there's just no fairway. It's just rough.
It's all rough, and then it's a parking lot.
And you're
on the green. Yeah.
Have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Plus 30 wins this.
The most hated mini golf hole. It's literally, they implant one of those fucking dome putts.
And the anthills.
You can't get into it.
I hate those things.
Little turtleback?
You have to putt it exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
You know who we didn't mention yet? The guy who finished T4 and is just, like, climbing up the ranks lately?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Lucas Glover.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the feel-good story of the week.
It's amazing what fear does to a guy. That's all I got to say.
Oh, I don't know.
He's like the 92nd in the world now.
I think he's going to renew his marriage vows.
Yep.
He just made 300K, so.
He is...
I'm telling you,
in
it
the
worked.
Good books. Yeah.
It worked.
One
guy
more
is red hot, though.
One more note about the bear trap. It actually averaged only 10.33. Par 10.
Mm-hmm.
There was the holes 10 through 12 averaged 0.525 over par, so way worse. And 5 through 7 played 0.7 over par.
So wow. Bear Trap was the third hardest stretch of three.
Yeah.
That
is a way to do your research.
Like 11 was playing like impossible. 10 was like a 500 yard par 4.
If you're bringing your A game like this right now, I can't wait. For this top five you got coming.
Nah, you might be a little bit disappointed.
Okay,
but.
Okay. How did the Canadians do this week?
Well, Raj was up there for...
Damn straight.
A good amount of time on Sunday.
Yeah, he got as high as T11, T10?
Yeah.
I think, on Sunday. And then had a...
Fizzled.
Yeah,
T30. T30, 41,000. Nick Taylor, also T30. That guy just keeps plugging along.
Yep, sure does.
And he plays a lot of tournaments.
Yes.
He's played 11 tournaments already.
He's going to get to 30.
He was playing... Yeah, he played well, too. He wanted to. He was in the top 20 for a while, too. Ben Silverman, T36, nice little comeback for him after a little bit of a stinker last week.
Yeah. But I think he might be a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, because he lives there, doesn't he?
Lives there, won a tournament there or something in college. Mm-hmm. And, like, home course, plays a lot.
Or is that Svensson?
No, that's
Silverman. Okay.
Svensson's also has some success there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he was a T59 plus five Sunday. But
that guy can't play on the weekend.
Nope.
I like to see guys making the cuts, though. Drew Nesbitt, Monday qualifier Canadian.
Little viral moment for the guy.
Yeah, wearing that white t-shirt underneath his golf shirt.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
So he took off his shirt. Ball was in the water. Took off his shirt. Rolled up his pants.
Took his shoes off.
And honestly, hit it pretty well. And then was it the hole before or the hole after where he skipped it across the water?
Couple holes later,
skipped it across the water. Guy was pulling out all the stops to make the cut.
Shot of the week, or
we'll see. We'll get there.
Could be.
So he pulled out all the stops, and then unfortunately made the cut and finished dead last after the cut.
The old MDF.
Still, oh, right.
Yeah.
It was MDF, wasn't it?
Still made 11 grand, though.
Right, yep.
The last event he played in, he shot 79.59.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. That's I remember the 59. I remember that.
Tour or whatever
it was. Yeah.
79.59.
I remember hearing about the 59, but there's no way I heard about the 79 in round one.
Hell of a two-day stretch.
What a turnaround.
I bested my score yesterday by 20 shots.
Yeah, like better than
I've done that before, though. So, 102.82.
Mac Hughes missed the cut.
Yeah.
Other notable missed cuts, Joel Damon, front of the pod, and Ollie, front of the pod. The barn rat, I told you he was going to be tired. Plus 10.
Stunk. Alex Chayka.
DQ.
DQ.
For using the wrong greens book? Or
last year's greens book. Like, just grab a new one. They guarantee they have them out there for you. Yeah. Like, just grab a new one.
There was someone threw a picture out on Twitter. It was this circle with a bunch of arrows. They're like, hey, if I took this on the green, would I get DQ'd? Did you see that?
I didn't see it. No,
but he got DQ'd mid-round, so did he call it on himself? Or did someone or see, someone like, hey, that green looks Sung a little Kang. Bigger.
Sung Kang did it to him.
I was going to say Joel Damon. But
no, Sung did.
Oh, Sung snuck it in his back pocket?
No, I'm saying Sung is trying to pretend like he doesn't cheat all the time, so he calls out other cheaters.
Oh,
that's why I thought it might have been Joel Damon, because he's been known to call people out.
Yeah. Oh, he's a big elbow rule guy. Beer pong.
Trophy talk this week, Harv? What do you got?
I don't even... Nope.
Nope.
Waste of time.
Just another candy dish.
Just another whatever you want to call it. Like, do they buy these things in bulk?
You know what? But that one, it had a lid on it, so you can put all your scotch mints in there and then put the lid back on it at grandma's house.
That's right, yeah.
So, wasn't the worst.
Wait till next week.
They were drinking out of it.
Wait till next week when we talk about the guy who wins a sword for winning this tournament. A sword! Yeah, you get a goddamn crystal dish?
We'll get into it.
Are Scotch mints those peppermint ones? Like those spheres?
Yeah, the circular
that they
give out at Boston Pizza.
They're chewy eventually?
Yeah, like Boston Pizza or Scotch mints.
Hmm.
Circular white.
Uh-oh, are you updating your top five candy list?
No. Yeah. Top five mint list, maybe.
They're like Rocket's fourth cousin.
Oh, come on. Rockets are 100 times better.
All right. Trophy talk, that's it.
Birthdays? Aces?
You want to welcome? I got to welcome to the club right now. Kid Rock. What is it? Bob Ritchie? Is that his name?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Welcome, Bob Ritchie.
I thought you were going to say Bob with a Bob.
Welcome to the club, Kid Rock. Golfing with Arnold Palmer and you get a hole in one. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, rest in peace.
Yeah.
It is his tournament this week.
That's right.
So anyway, golfing with Jack and you get a hole in one. Like, that is incredible.
His first one ever, too.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Yellow ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yellow Pro V, like Bubba.
Oh, just probably. Rubbing it in, hey?
Shots
of
the week?
That was going to be my shot of the week, but it wasn't in this tournament, so.
Doesn't count. Doesn't shots of the week. I'm going with Keith Mitchell, that putt on 18. I mean, Brooks and Ricky just breathing down his neck.
Yep. All right, I'm going...
Gutsy putt.
Harvey, you go.
I'm going JT with the dead arm. Chip and eagle from the path.
Nice.
That was a good one, yep. I got a couple shots of the week. I'm not sure which one. I mean, Brooks muscling up out of the rough. What was it, 200 and some over the water?
220.
Yeah.
All carry, yeah.
Drew Nesbitt skip across the water, in the water. Couple good ones. So yep. I'll say that. And before we get into the news, we got the dude wipes you shat yourself moment of the week. That would be Wyndham Clark. Unfortunately, ooh, not only did he cost me $17 at DraftKings, but he was leading it. He had a really good, you know, he was somewhat in control, a little speed wobble here and there in the front, and then just kind of, yeah, just toast.
And that shot he hit into the water.
Yeah, didn't help.
No.
Oh, by the way, that was going to be my other shot of the week on 18.
Yes.
Through the trees, tries to skip it like 200 yards across the water, just straight into it.
Go big or go home.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Three quick birthdays. Abe Anser's 28. Pat Perez is 43. Patton Kizzire's 33.
Happy birthday.
I wouldn't have thought Pat Perez is 43.
I would have. He's pretty old.
I would have thought he'd be 53.
He played against Tiger as a junior.
Yeah.
Yep.
53.
Patton, 33. I would have had him a little bit younger. A little bit. Anyway, in the news.
Start with the senior event. Marco Mira made 8 birdies in a row on Friday. Went on to win. Fun fact, I did not know there's only 3 rounds in a senior PGA tournament till today. Today, yeah, today, there goes your credibility. Today, years old.
You're today years old.
What? How'd you not know that?
I don't know. I'm an idiot, I guess.
This doesn't pay attention. Not too many guys are paying attention to senior tour on a Thursday, so.
No. John Smoltz shot 73, 74, 73. It was like T50 or something like that. Beat a whole bunch of guys with notable names, including John Daly, dead last, 81 Sunday.
No cuts in those tournaments.
No, but still dead last.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's funny that we talked about with Wheatcroft last week, 8 birdies in a row, and then sure enough, it comes up again.
Yeah.
Just weird coincidence.
And he made 8 birdies on the front 9, not a single one on the back.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's way more fun.
That's neat, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was like 1 over on the back.
What was it? Did he shoot 28 on the front?
Yeah. He made them all on the front. Like, par 1.
I was just wondering what par was.
Like, par 1, birdied the rest.
Yeah.
And then made a whole bunch of pars on the back.
Very.
Apparently the winds of shit are over in Oman as well. The Oman Open. There's sandstorm delays. Did you guys see that?
Da rude.
They're just pumping the song too hard.
You want that song today?
Yeah, that might be the ending song.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Bob Ritchie.
Maybe Kim Mitchell.
Well, we might have to have our first ever triple threat.
Yeah.
If only we could mash up songs.
Kurt Kitayama went on to win that tournament in Oman.
Yeah. You want to know a fun fact?
I do.
He is represented by the SBX group, none other than David Dubé's group that we had on the pod before Pebble Beach.
Nice.
He is an athlete of theirs.
That is pretty neat.
Shout out to that.
Sung Hyun Park won the LPGA tournament in Singapore. Credited Tiger
for the win. Yeah, he said she recently had a chat with him, and he essentially gave her some tips on focus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it helped her.
Yep. Got the win. Brooke Henderson, 15th. Can you believe she's only still 21 years old?
It's incredible.
I mean, I know she was 20 last year.
Yeah. Plus one. 20, plus, 20, let me do the math here.
20.
Seems like she's just aging very slowly.
1 year at a time, apparently.
Oh, boy.
Can't wait to have her on the show.
Friend of the pod, Colton Ost. What was
Colton Ost was inducted into the Southern Methodist University, SMU Mustangs Hall of Fame this week. Shout out to Colt.
Wow. Good for him.
Shout out to Twitter on that too.
The Rookie of the Year award is now being called the Honor Palmer Award. Is that?
Yep.
Also a fun in the news piece.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah. Makes sense. Who's going to win it this year?
Right now?
Town champ? He's kind of fizzled.
He has fizzled. I had him as a lock.
Adam Long, is he technically a rookie?
Yeah, I think he would be, but...
Just got to get... If you get two wins, you lock it up.
Well, yeah.
Two wins, you lock it up. Is another rookie one other than...
Champ and Long.
Champ and Long, yeah, so... That's it. Champ might have it so far.
So far. We'll see.
How about that fight over in South Africa?
Oh, that was in South Africa?
I thought it was a listener submission?
Yeah, our first listener submission?
Yeah, our first listener submission. I actually thought that was in America.
No, South Africa.
So it was essentially a guy chirping another guy across the bar for cheating to win the club championship. Guy walks over, headbutts him, and then starts feeding him uppercuts and pushes him through a window.
Through a window, yeah. Smashes it.
And
the other guy wasn't even like... technically hurt, he just got caught off guard
by a headbutt. There's also like a 10, 15, 20-year age gap between those two people.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the guy that got pumped. That guy that got pumped was way older.
No way.
Yeah,
if you watch in slow-mo that video, they're the same age.
100%. Not a chance.
100%.
And they're both old, you're saying?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. The guy that walks away is old as well. They're two old dudes. I would say they're both right around 55.
Oh.
And that guy headbutted the shit out of him.
I was just gonna say it.
That is my most terrifying thing. Whenever you get into like a shouting match with someone, like, yeah, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? You never expect a headbutt coming
to the schnoz,
right into the face.
Yeah,
because it's like it's always that gray area of at what point do you say something to the point that the fight is actually gonna break out? You know, like most 35 plus. Normal, sane people just chirp each other just to say, what are you going to do about it and wait to get broken up? They don't expect someone to come and just walk over and like give them no warning, no like warning push or anything like that before you throw down. It's just walk over, headbutt.
And that headbutt, like...
Yeah, I think you got to start bringing in like some family stuff or something just to get to push guys over the line.
I mean, you can headbutt me all you want. Just give me like a warning push first. Like, just so I know that I can prepare for the headbutt coming.
Or just like put your hand up and grab it. Yeah. Last bit of in the news, that Adam Hadwin soccer video. I don't know if the listeners saw that, but kind of a cool video.
So it was Hadwin
hitting targets on a soccer net.
Yeah, it was soccer net, and Hadwin was chipping.
Yeah.
And this guy was kicking soccer balls.
Yeah.
And who could hit all five targets down first?
No, you just had a first of three. Yeah, it was first five three. Targets.
Oh, five
and
targets
Adam ended up winning by sculling enough shots into the targets.
How good was a soccer player in this video?
That's what I was going to say. Like, that guy must stink.
Well, I mean, they're a ways away. And
he's got
to curl those in there. Like,
why would you curl it? Just kick it straight at that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never really understood the curl. I mean, I get it in a game scenario.
It's like bowling. You got to curl it in there.
Yeah, but you got to get it around the goalie who's diving at
exactly
working the angles.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I don't know.
That was a fun little final note. Anyway, that gets us into the Jimmy Hardkay interview. This interview is brought to you by Eagle Energy. Use the promo code DTG20 for 20% off your next caffeine inhaler order. Big thanks to Eagle Energy. We had a very fun chat with Jimmy Hardkay. We'll be back after to recap. Hope everyone enjoys, and we'll see you shortly. Matty B with Drive the Green Golf here with Harv, and today we have PGA Tour rookie, the pride of Basalt, Colorado, and the Colorado School of Mines, Jimmy Hardkay Knaus. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. You know your stuff pretty well there.
Yeah, for sure.
Research some stuff.
I guess the first question is, you have probably one of the best handles going right now with the Hardkay and the persona that goes along with it. Do you get a lot of guys calling you a Hardkay on tour now that you're on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, pretty much all my buddies on tour that I was with in the web.com graduating class, everybody calls me Hardkay. It just stuck pretty well. I think it's a great nickname. First got it in like 2012 down in Phoenix from a fellow named Wes, and it just kind of stuck ever since. I haven't met too many of the veterans out there on the tour yet, but hopefully, you know, everybody starts calling me Hardkay here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as part of having you on this episode of the podcast, Bronell, the third member of our team who couldn't be here for the interview, has put together his top five handles on tour. So, you've influenced the entire podcast. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Like I said, the nickname came up, and it was just automatic. You know, just had to make it to handle. And
yeah, exactly.
To love it.
Yeah. So we spoke a little bit about in the intro there. You're a rookie on the PGA Tour. You were the last guy to get your card off the web.com finals. What was that process like, waiting to see if you were going to be that, get that card, and then obviously everything that comes along with getting it afterwards?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy day, honestly, down there in Florida at the Tour Championship, and I wasn't, I had made the cut, which honestly, at the beginning of the week, I thought making the cut was going to do it for me, was gonna get me in. So I was kind of pleased. But then playing Saturday, Sunday, I was looking at the projections on the leaderboards all over the course, and it had me at 25, 26, 24. I was bouncing around like crazy, and so I figured, well, you know, I'll try to play my best, and I didn't play great on Saturday and Sunday, and so then it just kind of left it up to how everybody else was going to finish. And a few of the guys had really good charges and kind of jumped into the 25 from way down on the list with some top five finishes. And so that was kind of bumping me down. And then, you know, there was, I think, three or four guys that had a chance to make a birdie on the last hole, and every one of them would have bumped me out. And somehow they all parred. And, you know, I got in, but just sitting there and waiting for it, and you know, I'm just pacing back and forth in the clubhouse. my family was there, and so we were just kind of freaking out over here in the corner and just trying to hold it together. And then finally, when it all finished up, and I got that last spot by $400 or whatever.
That's crazy.
We were just all hugging, and we were, you know, crying and hugging, and we just had to, you know, all the emotions kind of came out, and we celebrated that night. You know, it was just a blast. It was a great week for sure.
Yeah, I imagine it's kind of, obviously there's a little bit of range of emotions because the guys that you've battled against and with all year, and you're, for lack of a better term, you're cheering against them to not make birdies, but yet at the same time, you've battled with them all year, and you're like, well, I hope to see these guys make it in, but that's just the name of the game. I mean, you're competing with guys all the time. So, how has life changed since obviously the PGA Tour is a significant step above the web.com. How has life changed for you?
Yeah, life is pretty similar with a kiddo, to be honest.
Yep.
You know, we're still doing what we're doing with him, and you know, getting up in the middle of the night here and there. Hopefully he sleeps through the night, you know. But sometimes he wakes up, and then you're changing diapers, and you're, you know, doing all this stuff. But you know, besides that, the golf part of it, everything's been awesome. You know, the events are bigger, there are better courses. You know, you get courtesy car, you get better food. You know, all these incredible perks. You know, airlines and, you know, travel benefits, all this crazy stuff. So it's just been awesome. And you know, I've played okay here and there, with a few good finishes, but it's just been a blast. We've just been soaking it all in, trying not to get too starstruck out there,
right,
and just go about, you know, playing my game, and not trying to do something that I'm not good at, or trying to do something that somebody else tells you to do. That's never a good idea. I just try to go out and do what I do, and you know, I know that if I commit to my game and what I do best, I know the finishes and the results will follow. So
One thing when we were kind of researching your results here, there's a couple tournaments that you just missed out on getting into with being one of the last alternates who didn't get in. So we were just wondering, how do you plan your schedule around that stuff? Do you just go to these tournaments thinking you're getting in and sticking to it, or is there a little more planning that goes into all of this?
Yeah, that is certainly one of the tough parts about being a rookie. You know, you're pretty far down the list, especially right out of the web.com. Like you said, I was the last guy, so I was after the the regular season 25 and the finals 25, I was number 50 on the WebGrads list. So I was last to get in every field. And like you said, I did not get in Vegas or Mayakoba in the fall, whereas previous years, everybody in my category had gotten in. So that, you know, that's stuff like that is, it can be frustrating. It's just part of the deal, I guess. It's part of the system. You know, sometimes it's tough when you're looking at the commitment list and you're in the tournament with 2 weeks to go, and then you check it
right.
a few days later, and all of a sudden you're out of the field.
Right.
That's kind of what was happening in the fall with Mayakoba in Vegas, and so then. And then I have to alter my travel plans to go try to Monday qualify if that's something I want to do. So for those tournaments, I went down, you know, a day or two before and tried to Monday qualify, you know, shoot 5 under, I think, in Vegas and missed the playoff by one.
Right.
Went down to Mexico and missed that one by a couple. So it can certainly get to you if you let it. But at the same time, I knew I had played well at Safeway Open, top 10 there, and so when the reshuffle hit, I was going to move up the list and get a few more starts when the new year rolled around, which is what happened, and then got a few starts. But then again, in Phoenix, I was right on the alternate list, ended up being second alternate. So it's just one of those things you have to hang around all week,
right?
Yeah. You know, because you may, you know, there may be a guy that gets sick or somebody gets injured or. Something like that. I would have loved to have played Phoenix, you know, but again, it's just kind of one of those things. As a rookie, you kind of just have to be ready to play when you get a start, and then hopefully you play well enough to right. get you up into that 125 for the next year, and then those guys, you know, you get a lot more I don't know, certainty with events that you're going to get in, and you can kind of plan out when you want to take a break here and there.
Yeah, and it's got to be tough to, you know, go through all of the preparation, getting ready to play and not knowing if you're there or not, and then all of a sudden, you know, you might not get in, then you got to kind of regroup and get ready for next week and kind of put that in the back of your head. One thing I did mention, you went to the Colorado School of Mines. What's the golf program like there? Obviously pretty good to produce a PGA Tour player.
It's just a golf powerhouse, you know, the Colorado School of Mines. Everybody's heard of them. So, so when I got there, the school was kind of rebuilding their golf program. They hired a full-time coach, Tyler Kimball. That was when I was a freshman. That was, I think, his second year. We actually had a Canadian, Sean Hubble, camp. He was a year older than me. He was kind of my mentor, you know, for a couple of years there. And we had 6 freshmen, I think, in my class. So kind of just a new program. And so I just wasn't heavily recruited out of high school. So this school was great for me. Engineering school, math and science based. I was very good at math and science, so it fit kind of both of the needs. And I knew I could play golf there and get on the starting squad right away. And we just kind of worked our way up. Every year we got a little bit better. By my senior year, we made the Division II National Championship. So, you know, it was just a blast. And all those 6 guys from my freshman class were all still, you know, great buddies today. That's my friend group. So for me, it was a perfect fit. I know a lot of guys, you know, on tour. Not a lot of guys from Division II, and not a lot of guys know the Colorado School of Mines. But, you know, that's why I'm here, to put them on the map.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's why we brought it up, too.
Yeah, and so you decide to go down the route of civil engineering for your degree, which we've done a few of these interviews now, and I'd have to say that's probably one of the more in-depth or intense degrees that we've run across PGA Tour professionals having. So
it's not a marketing major, is what he's getting at.
Yeah, exactly. So what kind of made you choose out? Just the math and science proficiency, or where'd that come from?
Yeah, I don't know where exactly it came from. I was good at math and science in high school. You know, took a couple aptitude tests. That's engineering is what I was scoring highly on. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do out of high school. I figured, well, let's go for engineering, and then civil engineering and structural engineering just kind of sparked, you know, my fancy a little bit when I was at school. Decided to major in that when I was a sophomore and at the School of Mines, and man, I just loved it. I mean, just dealing with all sorts of different topics, bridges and structures and tunnels and waterways. You could go into so many different areas in the real world with civil engineering. So that's why I loved it. I wasn't certain that I was going to be a pro golfer when I entered school, but then halfway through school I kind of figured things were trending that way, and I'd like to give it a go. So that's kind of how it went through my college experience.
Have you put any thought into converting into one length irons, or maybe looking at a little bit of the Bryson DeChambeau school of physics and coefficient of restitution type stuff, or is that a little bit?
Right. That's all kind of crazy stuff. I would say I'm nowhere near his level of, I don't even know what to call his style, but, I don't really involve, a ton of engineering principles or math principles to my golf game. Pretty much yardages, when you change elevation, like what they were talking about at WGC Mexico a couple of weeks ago, that was the big thing. How far does the ball go? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I deal with that a little bit. I'm pretty good and I can get really dialed in on yardages, that way, going 5%, 10%, whatever. But other than that, the iron, the same length irons, I don't know what that's all about. I certainly am not going to do that anytime soon.
Fair, that's fair.
But, it seems to be working for him. Maybe I should start doing some of that stuff.
But what about putting with the pin in?
Putting with the pin in, I've kind of been trying it a little bit. I've been doing it a lot from like 25 feet now, 30 feet now, just long putts. And then I think it can be beneficial on like downhillers or kind of putts that are sliding a pretty good amount.
Right.
I just don't love it inside of 10 feet.
Is it the optical illusion kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's just weird looking to me. I look at the hole, I got a 10 footer, I'm looking to make it. And I would say my putting technique is, I'm not really a dyer of the ball. I'm kind of more, firm it in the back style.
Right. Yeah.
And then I just practice 3, 4, 5 footers all day, every day. I'm solid on those. So if I blow it by 3, 4, 5 feet, I'm just not worried about making that comebacker.
Right.
So I just kind of like to visualize. I see the back of the hole when I'm looking up, addressed at the ball. I look up at the hole, I see the back of the hole, and that's where I'm trying to hit the ball. With the pin in, you look up and you see the flagstick, which is fine. Some guys might like that. It's just for however many years I've been doing it, I'm visualizing, hitting the ball, so it hits squarely in the back of a. In the back of the hole, I'm looking at a little tiny speck, on the back of the hole, just visualizing, that I want the ball to go right there. So, I don't know, for some guys, it seems like they're really liking it. Adam Scott, I see, putting with it all the time. And so,
yeah, it's just one of those. It's when they putt it in and it doesn't go in. It's kind of looks a little bit silly when they're putting from 3 feet and miss the hole or something. Just something about it is kind of odd to me. I get it on the long ones, but the short ones are just kind of the odd ducks. We wanted to get into a couple of non-golf related questions now. The first of which, you're a big Colorado sports fan, Broncos fan. As a Chiefs fan myself, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the current state of the Broncos football team, and then Harv has a follow-up question with regards to John Elway here. Go ahead, Harv.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, my question was, do you think there's any truth to the conspiracy theory that John Elway doesn't want to draft a good quarterback because it potentially might ruin his legacy?
I've never heard that one, actually, but I could get on board with it because, oh my gosh, we have had some terrible ones coming through the pipeline here in Denver, and it's terrifying, watching the Chiefs right now because y'all are extremely good right now with Mahomes, and things are not looking good in Denver. I'll just put it bluntly. The Broncos have not looked good in 2 or 3 years, and it's still, what do we get? Joe Flacco this year? Are we supposed to be, happy about that? I don't know. He's just kind of average, so.
So you're not on the Joe Flacco is elite bandwagon?
I would say he's average. I'm not on the Joe Flacco is elite bandwagon. I'm sorry, Joe, if you're listening, but, we can meet up and, we can toss the football around.
Do you get?
I hope for the best. Let's just say that.
All right. Well, yeah. I hope for the worst in your case, but we'll give you hope for the best. Do you get to take in much of any sporting events around the Denver area, or is it kind of obviously golf now is pretty much a year round thing, especially if you're competing in the Webb playoffs, hopefully the FedEx Cup playoffs, those types of things. Do you get a chance to get to games outside of golf and family life?
I don't really, unfortunately. I get to a couple Colorado Rockies games every year, which is just a blast. If you haven't been to Coors Field here in Denver, I would highly recommend it. If you come down on a nice summer day or August day, and it's just a beautiful summer day here in Denver, you just can't beat it going out to Coors Field and watching the Rockies. They also haven't been great in the past few years, but they made the playoffs and things are looking up. Arenado, just signed long-term contract, so things are looking up for them. And I love to go to my Denver Nuggets games. I just don't get to many games nowadays. And Broncos, same thing. Like you said, it seems like we're just golfing around, just all year.
Not a lot of downtime.
Last year with the web tour, web finals, and then right into the PGA Tour season. So there was really no off season.
Exactly. So were you a Nuggets guy back in the Mellow days then, hey? Big Mellow guy.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. What do we call them? The Thuggets, for a while there. And that was
Kenyon Martin.
Mellow and Iverson. That was a good team.
Kenyon Martin. Yeah, Kenyon Martin. Kmart was on those teams. I was saying Kenyon Martin was on those teams. So yeah, definitely the Thuggets.
That's right. Kmart, man. Yeah.
We do this thing on Drive the Green called the Ultimate Foursome. It's three guys that you from any walk of life that you'd want to hit the links with. Who can you think of off the top of your head that you'd want to have in your Ultimate Foursome?
Oh gosh, Ultimate Foursome. I would love to have Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Those are like my golfing idols. The guys that I tried to be like. And then I don't know. I guess I would maybe say Ernie Els. I've just always tried to swing like Ernie, the Big Easy.
Timeless swing.
Hopefully my swing kind of mirrors it, just so silky smooth the whole time. So, and he's still just killing it. You just can't beat the guy. So, I would say, Tiger, Jack, and Ernie. How about that?
Okay. No, that's a good one for sure. We do have just moving into kind of a rapid fire stage of the interview here. We got a bunch of rapid fire questions to fire at you. The first of which is what's in your bag for this season?
What's in the bag, like clubs?
Yeah.
Pink clubs, all pink, 14 clubs. This is not really very rapid, but I have 19 clubs that I travel with, and so I have about 15 different bag setups I can use, just depending on where we are, what the course is like, if it's firm, what you need off the tees, stuff like that. So, sorry, that was not very rapid.
Oh, that's okay. You can extrapolate on your answers. I know that doesn't work, but You recently had an ace at Torrey Pines. Congratulations and welcome to the club. I also have one.
Yeah, thank you.
I have one. These guys do not. How many aces do you have in your career?
I have 5 aces. 2 in California, 1 in Colorado, 1 in North Carolina, 1 in Texas.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 more than me and 5 more than these guys. So, great job.
Keep working at it.
You're a big skier. Have you made any trips into Canada to get to hit the slopes? And piggybacking on that, have you had a chance to golf up here?
I have not. Honestly, I've never been to Canada this year
there
for the Canadian Open. I think it'll be my first time in Canada, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, that was the follow-up question to that is, are you coming to the RBC Canadian Open? Because yeah. We will be there. And
oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, so we hope to see you there because it's gonna be a blast. The Drive the Green boys are going to be there, so it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Do you guys know anything about the new golf course?
Not so much. We've heard good things about it, but I mean, we've never been there before, but, we're excited to see, you know, Hamilton put on a show. Hopefully, I mean, they gotta turn some heads to hopefully keep it or, you know, have them, you know, have it recurring there. So I'm sure they're going to put on a show for us.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to seeing you boys there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Next one, this one does not have to be a short answer. I'm hoping it's not. What's the weirdest thing you've seen on a golf course? And this doesn't have to be in tournament play or anything. This can just be in everyday, you know, side games with the boys or anything like that. Can you think of something that you've seen that just made you say, whoa?
Well, I don't know if my buddy wants me telling this story, but it's pretty great. When we were
you can leave the names out. Leave the names out.
No names.
Okay, yeah, at the home course we grew up playing, you know, I had this solid group of friends in high school that we would play with every day. So we drive out to this club in Glenwood Springs, 20 minutes away, and one day it was especially wet on the golf course, and so my buddies, you know, trying these spin-outs, you know, in the golf carts, you know, and coming down a hill and slamming the brakes, spinning out, you know, doing 360s and stuff, and one of these hills was so big, he's spinning out. And the cart's just not stopping. It's just is going all the way, and eventually it goes over the edge of this little cliff thing, and is rolling down the hill and hits a tree. Finally stops, and we just, you know, we have to go down there and take like 30 minutes to pull this cart out of the gully. You know, it's just it was a little rough, but you know, it was pretty fun. We had a good time there at Iron Bridge in Glenwood Springs. So I would say that's probably the craziest thing. It's not too crazy, but it was a funny thing for sure.
Did you were you members there?
Yeah, so my parents joined when I was in high school, probably so 2008 or so, something like that.
Gotcha.
So it was just perfect for us, and that's kind of the time I started getting really a lot better at golf was kind of during high school.
I thought maybe you're gonna say it was like a muni course, and you just left the keys in it down there, took your clubs, and walked off.
That would have been pretty great too.
Yeah. One more for you here, or maybe a couple more. But I wear glasses. I see you wear glasses in some of your social media posts. Can you golf in glasses? Because like I just can't do it.
Yeah, you know, it's for me. That's really the only way I can do it is in glasses. I've tried contacts in the past. You know, actually, I never had any sort of glasses or contacts until I met my wife in college. Funny story. And then she said, "You're blind as a bat." So she said, "You're going to the eye doctor." So I did. Got glasses. The very next tournament I entered, a little mini tour event in New Mexico, I won. So she said, "See, you know," and so then I tried contacts the next few years, just never could really get one that fit comfortably for whatever reason. And so I have these glasses with Transition, and then I got some prescription Oakley glasses that I just love. When it's a little too dark, I can't wear them. But man, I just love them. I mean, that's just me. I'm okay golfing in glasses. That's kind of my style, you know. And some guys think it's weird, you know, but I just kind of go for it.
Yeah, whatever works, right?
Yeah, you threw me off because I didn't realize the Oakleys were prescription. I thought maybe you threw on contacts and wore Oakleys over top, but...
Yeah, no, those are prescription, yeah. They're great.
Might have to try that.
Next one for you. If they do the match again, well, they say they're doing the match again. What do you think would be the ideal, whether it's one-on-one or two-on-two match on the PGA Tour? What would you pay money to watch? And, I guess, did you watch the Tiger Phil match?
I did watch it, you know, and honestly, I would say I was entertained. I didn't think it was perfect, obviously, you know, first time they've done it, and there's certainly things they could do better. The weird kind of, you know, they were mic'd up and the chit-chat between shots is like everybody's saying, oh, my God, they're not talking. I was like, well, you know, this is kind of normal. This is how golfers do it. Like, oh, where are you staying? You know, what are you doing? What's your family doing? What'd you do last night? You know, stuff like that. And, you know, who really wants to watch that? Okay, nobody. But I still thought it was kind of interesting. And you know, the way it ended, it was kind of exciting.
In the dark.
Weird that Phil's giving Tiger like a 6-7 foot putt bar, but okay, whatever. You know, you look past that. I think a future doing something like that, or bringing in two more golfers, like, you know, bring in, you know, DJ and Rory, or, you know, Spieth and Patrick Reed. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that? That's good stuff.
We get that one a lot.
So, I mean, I could see it happening again. I think it should. I think people enjoyed it. So, yeah. That's my take.
So, Jim, if you were in one, who would be the guy that you would want to play, whether it's for the banter back and forth or just the guy that you'd like to take the $10 million off of?
Gosh. I mean, well, playing as Tiger would be awesome, obviously. But let's see. Who could I play with? I mean, I've made pretty good friends with a couple guys out here. Hank Lee Biota. I mean, he's an interesting guy. I love playing with Hank. You guys will have to have him on. And
yeah, Hank was
Ben Silverman, honestly one of my better buddies.
Yeah,
this year, so
we've had Ben on the show. Yep, Ben's joined us, and I think Hank was 49 right in front of you on web.com, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we haven't had Hank on, so we'll have to. But yeah, Ben was a classic. Tying back into the Ben thing, me and Ben had a really good chat about minivan rentals with his family, you know, having family on the trips with him and, you know, doesn't want to own a minivan, but definitely wants to rent one when he's on the road. What's your thought on minivans?
Yeah, I'm kind of with him. Whenever I rent them or get them as a courtesy car or something like that, I'm kind of in them, and I'm like, man, this is kind of a nice ride, and there's just a lot of room, and, you know, the seats fold really easy, but I'm kind of with them. I just would hate to ever own one. You're driving around, you know, town next to your friends, and they're like, well, oh, you know, what is that, Jimmy driving a Maven? Like, you know, it's just not a good look.
It doesn't really fit with the hard K life, does it?
No. Doesn't fit the hard K life at all. You got to be doing cool stuff, with a name like that. Can't be driving around in no minivan. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, piggybacking on cool stuff, as a new father, this episode I talked about at the start, one of the greatest joys of being a father is when your kids throw up on you. So have you had the pleasure of having your boy throw up on you?
You know, I have. I like you said, I doubt anyone can avoid that in their life, not getting thrown up on or peed on or pooped on, you know, stuff like that. It's just gross. But you kind of just deal with it as a dad. You know, you get thrown up on, you say, oh, all right, well, give me a napkin or something.
Yeah.
You just kind of brush it off and just kind of keep going about your day because it's just kind of normal. You
know? It is funny that that's what it comes to. Hey, it's just normal.
Yeah. Just happens.
Yeah, for sure. Last question for you. Big one on the pod here for the boys. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Coke.
Jeez.
All day.
Another one.
All day.
It was Pepsi. It was Pepsi early on. A lot of waters, but lately it's been Coke landslide.
So. Really? Yes, sir. Coke Zero specifically. In my case, I just love it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You guys won another one. But
yep.
Again, I still got a hole in one, Jimmy. So that's all that matters.
Yes, you still one up.
Yeah, just one. With the day that tie comes, if it ever does, is going to be one of the worst. But anyway,
it's gonna be a rough day.
We thank you for joining us. It was a fun chat. Good luck in your upcoming schedule here. Hopefully, like you say, you got some plans to be in quite a few tournaments moving forward here after the Players. So good luck in those, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me on. Matty B. Harp, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, sounds cheers. Good. Big thanks to Jimmy Hardcake Canales for joining the boys. Guy really turned around the Colorado School of Mines golf program, though, hey?
I mean, when you think college golf powerhouses, you think Colorado School of Mines.
Exactly, and he said it too. Pretty hilarious he takes it to the Div 2 National Championships. But like I say in the interview, Hard K is one of the best handles out there. The reason for Bronell's upcoming top five. He had a pretty good ultimate foursome. Jack, Tiger, and Ernie, all golfers.
Yeah.
Could have maybe got a celebrity one from him, but not really willing to dip his toe into the Bryson world of physics. Whole different beast. How about you? What'd you take away from that?
One, I like that he could get on board with that conspiracy theory about about Elway. Because I think that's a thing.
I think so too.
Like, he just doesn't want anyone to be known as the best Broncos quarterback beside him. Yeah. Like,
because
sure, he brought in Peyton Manning, but no one remembers Peyton Manning for being a Bronco. His legacy is not a Bronco.
Yeah, fair.
So he's keeping good quarterbacks down so he can stay on top.
Yeah. And get to see him, hopefully, RBC Canadian Open. So that'll be good. And, I mean, he had a good 2-on-2 there match with friend of the pod, Ben Silverman and Hank Lebioda.
So yeah, that'd be... I mean...
be interesting.
Maybe they need, like, a pre-card thing. They make that thing, like, a whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, like a couple of undercards.
Yeah, like a couple, like, less... not lesser, but lower-named guys or less well-known guys that battle it out. And so, like, you can cut to their shots and maybe... don't have to hear Phil breathing all the way up hole one or something like that.
Just exhausted. And maybe cut in after hole two, three or four for Phil.
Yeah, exactly. Let him get warmed up. And Coke guy. Can't leave that out. Coke guy.
Yeah, Coke guy and five hole at once.
Well, we also... were we going to try and talk to him about Mike Weir? Or why did we have Mike Weir?
Well, we just got to get Mike into every into every pod. So
okay.
I guess this counts.
Yeah,
as Mike, and we really dropped the ball on the interview when we interviewed him from Colorado, and we forgot to say
right by Aspen,
California. Anywho,
anyways,
well, should we get into this top five list?
Let's do it.
Why not?
Okay, I'm going to start with my top five, a couple on mentions, and then I got a few others after that are just kind of notables.
All right,
number five is the hardest name to pronounce in golf, probably. I'm going to give it a whirl. His name is Attawit Janawatatananen.
What?
And his nickname is Jazz. He's actually the 75th ranked player in the world. Fun fact, he's from Thailand.
From Thailand?
Yep.
Say it again.
Ooh, a lady boy.
Attawit Janawatatananen.
Yeah, sounds right.
Janewatatananond.
I'll take
your word for it.
I'm going to believe you.
Take your word for it. All right, but so that's number five.
His nickname's technically Jazz. I mean, this is real names we're talking here, not nicknames. That's fun a whole other list for another time.
Do you have the nickname list?
No.
Fun fact, it's Jazz on the World Golf Ranking.
Yeah, he goes by that, but his real name's Attawit. But
I thought Jazz was like code for his last name.
No. Jazz is his nickname.
I thought it was Attawit Jazz.
Jazz is what he goes by.
Oh, so it's Jazz I'm not going to do it.
Janawatatananen. Yeah.
All right.
Number five. I just had to get him on there because...
yeah. This is just real names.
Real names. Nicknames is a whole other list for another time.
Which you didn't prepare for this.
No, that's another time.
All right. Go ahead.
Number four, the 189th ranked player in the world, Kramer Hickok.
Okay. Just you're going to put that guy in it. All right.
Kramer?
Okay. Kramer Hickok? That's a great name.
Good handle.
Hell of a name.
So just to recap, this is coming from Jimmy Hardkay. This is the reason why we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean...
Just to let the people lots of name, tuned in.
Lots of name references this week. The Keith Mitchell thing, Kim Mitchell.
Yeah.
Kevin, whatever his name is.
Bob Ritchie.
Kramer Hickok was the player of the year in the PGA of Canada in 2017, hey? Fun fact.
Might have to get him on the show to talk about it.
Should. Number three, the 146th ranked player in the world, Taylor Gooch.
Gooch.
Taylor.
Gooch. Don't call me Taylor Gooch.
Taylor Gooch.
Okay.
Paired with, not paired with, in the same group as David Dubé. A lot of David Dubé ties in this pod.
Yep. Number two, the 124th ranked player in the world, Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Vegas from Venezuela.
He's in it because not only Vegas, but that the birth certificate had the N before the H. No, the other way. Yeah, no, that's right.
It's J H O. That's how his name starts.
And they moved it one up. Yeah,
it's like John Rahm kind of.
I was gonna say if we're going by spellings, John Rahm, John Rahm should be on.
There. The H is in the wrong name. Hey?
Yeah, the H is in the wrong name.
Okay. And the number one name, the 38th ranked player in the world, Kiradek Appy Barnrat. That's my top five.
That's your top five.
You might have some on mentions that are better.
Yeah, I'm hoping
but,
so because I got a bunch.
Four on mentions: Juuse Luton.
Juuse Luton is awesome. Yep.
Bronson Berggren.
Yep.
I thought Berggren was for sure in there.
Berggren was real close to making it over Jazz.
Yep.
Thorbjørn Olesen.
Okay.
Up there.
Okay.
Right. Got Thor
Viking
name.
Yeah, Viking name.
Luke List, I like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cam Champ, I like.
Okay.
Kurt Katayama, I mentioned before. Couple guys with some fun names later, a little bit lower down the list of in the world rankings. Poom Saxonsson. Saxonsson, sorry. And then Dimi Papadatos is another guy.
I just stumbled across Papadatos. Dimi. And I was going to throw him on there on mine.
Got to be Greek. If he isn't. And then two more. Louis Oosthuizen. I like that name. And then Robert Rock. I like that one too.
Robert.
Do you guys think of any other ones or where are you at with this?
I am
Jason Cockrack.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was literally That's spoiler alert, he's in my picks this week, and I was just like, how is Cockrack not in this list?
Because
I thought
it's Cockrack.
He was gonna be one. No, it's Cockrack.
Dimi Papadatos is Australian.
Because I said
by
that.
The way.
Really?
Yeah. Cockrack. I can't wait. I was actually hoping we'd get nicknames right now.
I also have
Oh, that's another time.
Shoebanker Sharma?
Yeah,
Shoebanker
that's not how Sharma. You pronounce it in real life, but...
Shubakar? Shoebanker?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, fine.
What else?
Whatever.
What else you got?
I want to know how Jazz was five and not one.
Well,
I think a good point.
Because you can't pronounce it.
Tyrone Van Aswagen?
Yeah, the
Aswagen. Good one. Good one.
The Aswagen's got to be in there.
I missed the Aswagen, yeah.
Not every day you see one of those driving down the street.
There's not many up in the top 100 of the world that have great names, though.
Well, the fact that it's actually Sung Hoon Kang and not just Sung Kang, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm. If anything, I feel like your research was maybe 200 golfers too shallow.
Should have went into the 400s.
Yeah, the 3 to 4s is where you find Jimmy Hardkay down there.
Dimi Papadatos, I mean.
Yeah, so.
He's in the top
anyway, good. No, that's a good list. I'll give you that.
It's a quick list. Just a quick little thing.
Just a quick little thing I did.
Yeah.
Just a fun little thing.
Passing time. I mean, if we're going to talk handles, here's another one I thought of. Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Xander's good a good one. Yep.
I still think Aswagon's probably number one.
Yeah.
Aswagon, Cockrack, you really missed the boat on these.
His name isn't Cockrack. Just because I said that once on the pod doesn't mean that's what it is now.
I'm saying it in picks here in about 3 minutes. So.
You mean Johnny Vegas.
Johnny Vegas is pretty good.
And you had Juice Luton or Jonas Blix? Which one?
I had Juiced.
Okay.
Yeah. On mentions. Should we get into picks?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, you...
Let's hear it.
Picked up another win this week. Your eighth. It's now 10-8-3. I have three wins.
Yeah.
This stinks.
3 of 21.
Correct, yeah. Matty B had Ricky for a T2. Gary Woodland, T36, and JT, not Justin Thomas, JT Poston, T36.
Yeah.
Poston. I still don't know.
The postman.
25 average.
Nice.
Harv actually had JT for T30. William Horschel, T16, and the aforementioned Bronson Burgoon for T59 for 35 average.
Yeah, when Harv was running away with it on Friday.
Like, yeah.
I was on Thursday.
Yeah. You always run away with it because you pick guys that tee off first thing in the morning and you're the only one with an average.
I had Cam Smith, who was 4 under Thursday. Then he went out and shot 79 on Friday. Oh. Missed the cut.
First cut he missed in almost a calendar year.
Yep.
Jinxed him big time.
Should be mentioned, he was on that the aforementioned DK team that was way up there with Wyndham.
Yep. I also had Webb Simpson and Jonas Blixt also finished T36, both of them.
48 average.
Ugh.
I heard...
I stink.
I heard you did the yearly averages too.
I did, yes. And you are edging Harv barely. 29.5, Harv 30.3, and I'm up at 34.7.
And then what's the weekly win, like picking winners? Did you get that in there?
We've each picked one winner. Because you got asterisks out the yin-yang on your list.
Oh, yeah. Hero World Challenge winner? There's 18 people
playing. Yeah, we all picked, everyone was picked, too. You picked Belgium for the World Cup. We picked everyone in that tournament.
Yeah. So your the two hero wins are where you pick every single person, so one of us was going to have
one
winner.
Of your wins is like that, too.
Yeah, one of yours. Yeah,
yeah, no, because Iron Harvey. He didn't include it.
Yeah. It's 1-1-1.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah.
Yes.
And his win was DJ, so it's like,
yeah.
Kind of like a...
Mine was Rose.
Well, and yours when I predicted the future. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
All right. Didn't predict.
Arnold Palmer this week, fellas.
Yep.
No Tiger.
Oh, we could have talked about this in the news, I guess.
It's
which
fine,
is actually
though.
Kind of funny that we didn't.
Well, I knew we were going to talk about it now. This is his tournament. He's won it, what, 8 times?
Man, I hope he's not hurt.
He's not. You know, he's just setting the groundwork for his subpar season. Excuses out the wazoo.
His green jacket.
I'm telling you, man, that prediction, no top fives this year. It's happening.
Yeah. You're still doing well.
Yeah.
Almost lost it again, eh?
Except that Cam Smith.
No, you're not doing well, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
You had a meteoric rise to the top.
Yeah, one hiccup.
I mean, he did miss his cut, first cut in a year, but still.
Yeah.
But it's your fine. Other bold predictions was almost toast again this week with Brooks or Ricky
winning for the second time. Yeah. You're just getting by a skin of your teeth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bay Hill this week.
Yeah, it's a stock par 72, 7,450 yards.
Sheila. Take a few bombers.
Any bombers? Yeah. Rory's defending champ. I remember that tournament he won last year. Remember that putt he made?
Yeah, I picked him.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
That he did.
100% I did.
Yeah, I don't believe it. We'll have to check the tapes.
Loaded field.
Loaded.
Rose is finally playing.
Minus Tiger. He's playing. Obviously.
Fun fact, Tiger coming out of the tournament allowed Roger Sloan to enter into the tournament as the first alternate.
Another fun fact, there's actually three over the field. I can't remember who it is because I don't have it up on the screen right now. But there's three guys that have lifetime exemptions to this tournament that are in but don't take a spot in the tournament from the guys that are alternates.
Right. I saw Ernie Els was one of them.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
So there's three guys that don't actually... They're in the tournament, but if they withdraw, no one gets their spot. And if someone else withdraws that's not one of those three, they still get to move up. Like, it's not like they're taking the spot of three guys.
And who are they?
I'd have to... I don't know if you have a... found it. Did you?
It's Els. I don't know who else.
I'll look for it. You guys can pick first if you want.
The other two Canadians playing this week are Hadwin and Connors, by the way. So hopefully Hadwin's not shanking and sculling chips everywhere.
I wonder how Connors' swing is this week.
His schedule's been funny this year. I don't know what...
Well, he's not a full tour guy.
Yeah, so why is he in this tournament?
It is Ernie Els, Tim Herron.
What?
Oh, Timmy Herron? Really?
Yeah.
What's the reason?
He must have won it.
And Robert Gámez. Yeah.
Gonna need a reason.
They are exempt as winners prior to 2000. They are considered add-ons and will not be replaced if any withdrew. Ernie Els, Tim Herron, and Robert Gámez.
Yeah, I don't know the Gámez part.
Isn't that fun? Wow. Anyway, I'm taking my first pick. I'm taking Rory. Don't think he's going to repeat. I might regret that, but even if record it if you like. Rory, he might not repeat, but I'm saying he's a top 10 lock. My lock of the week. Then I'm taking Bryson. I had Big Cat in here, but I had to swap him out last second for Bryson. And then with my third, I am taking Jason Kokrak.
You are going with him, hey?
Yep.
He is a bomber, so.
He's a bomber, and his...
what's he ranked in the world?
I think he's just shade over 100.
Yeah, like 101. Sure he's not 50.
I think he's 101, and he is on a heater. So, while you guys pick, I will tell you what that heater is. Harv's up next.
I am going to take Brooks Koepka. What's that about? That little...
I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to do good back-to-back weeks.
People didn't think he'd win two majors last year.
I guess who am I to talk, eh?
Yeah, you stink, bro.
I'm also going to take Justin Rose, if he's out there. And my third pick will be Sunghoon Kang.
Nice.
Sung Kang.
Known cheater.
Yeah.
Just before you get to pick, Bruno, Kokrak's last five tournaments, 9, 37, 20, 20, 18. That's good enough for a win. Good.
You're just going for the cut, eh?
Just for a cut.
I thought you were going to stop.
It's a proven fact that cuts work.
Yeah. I thought you were going to stop me so you could start playing that Benny Hill music for my picks here. But...
oh, yeah.
I guess we're not doing that.
We'll give you one more week.
One more week, okay.
Try and get
because I'm going with a new theme this week. I'm going with three guys I maybe don't really like too much, just as an emotional hedge. So when they tank, which they will, because I have no luck and these guys have all of it, I'll be fine with it. I'm going with Fatso Reed.
Oh, wow.
T7 last year. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Ian Poulter. How about his last four? T6, T3, T6, T3.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Considering last year this time, we didn't know if he was going to get a tour card again.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. So,
sorry, Ian, but your stretch is over now. I picked you. And my third pick, I'm going with Kevin Na. Screw it. I don't care anymore.
Again?
Again?
I don't care anymore. What was that, the all-time soundbite on this podcast? You know what? I'm going to take a Phil again. I'm taking Kevin Na.
Screw it. No, that wasn't...
Phil didn't do well. That was the week after Phil won.
All right. Wow, so that's... I feel like I'm locked in again, but 10-9, 3 coming up.
Who were your first two again? You have
Rory, Bryson, Kokrak. And Kokrak. Okay, right.
That's a pretty good team.
Kokrak.
Yeah, so another unbelievable tournament coming up. Stacked field. Can't wait to watch. Got nothing going on this weekend. Another weekend of watching. Pretty excited. Big thanks to Jimmy Hard, Kay Knaus, for joining the boys. Hope everyone enjoyed that interview. We got another huge one again next week. I think everyone's going to love next week's interview. I know I did. So until next week, everyone have fun, and it's time to hit the clubhouse.